It is time now for The Other Side, and we are joined now in the studio at long last by Orange County Conservative Ashley Campbell after a hiatus. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm finally glad we got to connect for the first time in forever. Like every single week that you were going to come in, it's like, I'm not here, you're not here or something. We're here together.
Yeah, well, right. Finally, I know. Blake does a great job when you're out, though, I have to say.
He can't do that great a job, otherwise I'm out of a job.
No. But it was nice to talk to him last time, but it's good to be back with you.
So we've got midterms ongoing right now. Polls are open for a little bit less than 3 more hours. 7:30 is when they close, and turnout has been really significant. Let's talk about turnout first, because I remember watching, it was the Lost Michael Moore documentary, which is the big one that he came out in the mid-90s, which was him going around and asking people why they didn't care about the 96 election was basically the upshot of it. And I was thinking about that today because I got a text from someone saying that turnout at some of the precincts in Chapel Hill is now already past 50% for the early voting plus today's turnout combined. And I'm thinking back to 96 when we had a presidential election, turnout wasn't 50% for that. So this election here with no presidential race, no gubernatorial race, no Senate, that blue moon election is getting more attention than presidential elections did in the not so distant past, which is really significant.
Right. Yeah, I know. I have to say that I'm still quite sad that we didn't get to have Hog Day last weekend. Because the commissioners were worried about the number that would come out for early voting. Mm-hmm. But I guess they were right.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that came out for early voting and, you know, record numbers much higher than 2014.
Yeah. Closer to 2016 than 2014, I think, in terms of the final numbers. Yeah.
Yes. And I went to vote earlier today and it seemed even busier at my precinct than it did in 2016. That's just my perception, but I talked to one of the judges there, and they said that it was just busy, steady stream of people all day, and that it would just pick up as the day went on, was their prediction.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a number of issues that are driving this that of course vary from person to person, perhaps. You know, for me, I like a lot of other North Carolinians, it was the amendments, maybe. Mm-hmm. I have pretty strong feelings one way or the other about most of them. Mm-hmm. I won't say all of them, but most of them. So that's probably what brought me out. You know, a lot of the local elections are already decided, so there's no one to really choose between. But, the amendments, I guess, were the top thing that were
pulling
on me.
It's the state races that are going to be close.
Yeah,
I think some of the amendments I think are going to pass easily. I think some of the if the numbers that we're getting from the polls are any indication, some of the amendments are going to pass easily. The two kind of power struggle amendments between the legislature and the governor, those might not pass. And then there are a couple in the middle that are going to be close, but the really close races, I think, are going to be the judicial races, and not even the state Supreme Court that's drawing all the attention. The state Court of Appeals races are the ones that I think we're going to be up until midnight waiting for.
Yeah, that should be really interesting. I mean, there's the whole issue of Chris Englund. You know, is he really a Republican?
No.
Really Democrat? I mean, you know, who is he? And so that colored that whole race. And so, it will be interesting to see how that is going to turn out. But there has been a lot of attention on the judicial races as well. I guess I would say more than usual, more than at least, you know, it seems to me that more people are aware of who the candidates are and their backgrounds than maybe in years past.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so, yeah. Although the one thing, and I keep coming back to this, watching this election and the turnout being high and everyone being excited and enthusiastic about the turnout, the one thing that I remember hearing, and I think I was in college when I read this, so who even knows what it actually said, but who remembers anything from college? But the thing that I remember reading is the one thing about high turnout versus low turnout is you tend to see high turnout in races where there is a great deal at stake. Like the outcome of the election will make a real difference in some people's lives one way or the other. So the low turnout races, we can lament the low turnout, but it also means that life will go on as per normal, regardless of which party wins. And there's pluses and minuses to both, right? I mean, there's something to be said for an election where there are real choices and things at stake. There's also something to be said for an election where maybe not this much is at stake. And I don't know where I stand on this.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a very excellent point. I wish... Yeah, for every election, I wish there was less at stake just because, you know, I wish government was smaller and had less influence over our daily lives. But I've just been looking at the subject lines of a lot of emails that I've gotten recently and just, you know, from both sides. Like, I subscribe to a lot of progressive organizations, email lists and whatnot, just so I can read their emails too. And I mean, but on both sides, there seems to be subjects like get out and vote because everything is at stake. Vote like your life depends on it because it does. It's like, I mean, I would say it's a little hyperbolic. I'm sure it does feel like that to some people. But I guess I would put a little, you know, advice just to temper that a little bit. And especially because it seems like, well, we don't have as much on a national scale to vote for locally, except for, you know, a congressional seat. But in other states, of course, people do. But there's so much... emphasis in those emails, in the body of the emails, about national things. And I just want to, you know, emphasize, like I do with every election, I think that the importance of local elections and how influential, you know, local races really are over your lives, because, you know, the people making those sorts of decisions at, you know, municipal and county levels are things about, you know, where you can literally live and eat and do all sorts of basic things. But I don't know. I mean, maybe do you feel like it's hyperbolic?
So let me put it this way. What would you say to someone who comes back to that and says, for me personally, it's a life or death situation. I have a pre-existing condition, so what our healthcare system is might be the difference between life or death to me, or I am an immigrant and this election might be the difference between me being able to stay in the country or not, or something specific like that. I don't know if it's I don't know if it's life or death for everybody. I don't think it's that significant yet, but for I think a significant portion of the population, there is a particular issue that's very much at stake that might be that level.
Right. Yeah, I know. I you know, with the healthcare example, you know, I know that that's a specific example that you're using, but I don't think that there would be any chance of any whatever healthcare reform that may or may not take place, a pre-existing condition being being lost or kept out of that. Immigration is of course a really hot button issue, to say the least.
Right.
There's so much going on there with that. And you have a lot of attention put on the caravan that may dwindle down to nothing before it reaches the U.S. border, like one did earlier this year, or it may not. Mm-hmm. And versus, you know, the president tweeting about issuing executive orders about doing away with birthright citizenship and things like that. So, of course, you know, when you have the president using that kind of rhetoric, what should I expect these organizations sending out emails to have any less of an excited tone, to put it that way. So you know, there definitely are some issues. I guess just it being here in North Carolina with the issues that we have to vote on locally, there's not as much on the line. I feel like that we have a chance of flipping. I mean, I think even on a national level, when we're talking about immigration policy and whatnot, I think, you know, what the candidate that we have representing us is going to go back to Washington, David Price, meaning him, and continue on, you know, carrying on his policy there. But I am paying attention to, you know, issues in other states. Like, for example, Washington State has a really restrictive gun regulation that would change a lot of the current laws. You know, basically
on the ballot. You mean?
Yes, on the ballot. It's a referendum. Mm-hmm. I think it's Initiative 1683 or something. It's a very long number.
They've had a lot of initiatives then.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know, you know, why they number
them.
They
have to start back at one at
some
point.
Quite that way. Yeah. Maybe it's easier if you live in Washington to keep up with, but it's harder for me to remember for sure.
That's probably why they have to drink all that coffee.
Yes. Maybe so. Maybe so. Yeah. Starbucks will get a boost around election time. I'm keeping track of that.
Right,
I mean, that's
right.
Maybe one of the things that I'm interested in seeing the outcome from. But
yeah, well, bring it back locally. I mean, we've already talked about some of the like hot button issues on the national level, but all politics is local. The outcome of local elections is going to make a bigger difference in terms of kind of day to day life here. What are the issues that are kind of driving you when you're thinking about voting, or just when you're thinking about politics and government in Orange County or in the Triangle area?
All right. Well, I think to go back to President Trump in a way, one issue that is brought up, I mean, especially because we've been headed into election for the past few weeks, I've seen a pattern in, you know, various media outlets talking about radicalization. Mm-hmm. And I mean, of course, not just because we have the election, but because we've had these terrible things happen, mm-hmm. Like the shooting in Pittsburgh and the person who sent bombs,
right,
or, you know, some kind of devices to a lot of prominent Democrats, people that Trump has criticized, CNN, et cetera. I know there's been at least one more shooting and mm-hmm. probably other horrific things that I'm not recalling at the moment. But, you know, the issue of radicalization has been brought up and how these people have been radicalized and emboldened by the rhetoric of people like Trump or people on the right. And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, right now whether or not this is accurate or not. I mean, perhaps this shooter, this bomb maker, you know, they were. They, I mean, certainly the guy with the bomb maker with the van seemed to be inspired by Trump.
And I think there's an extent to which we're kind of aware that there's a connection, right? I mean, you said to bring it back to Trump before starting. So, I mean, there's an extent to which we know that it's at least connected to who's in the White House, whether or not it's beyond that.
Yes. But I think that what is interesting to me is that when I it's just a different perception that I have of some things. And, you know, I'm not the hugest fan of President Trump and certainly wouldn't defend everything he says. But in a lot of ways, it seems like he's just sort of cutting through, you know, a lot of political pretense and making, you know, some bold, you know, abrasive statements from time to time, like he does at a lot of rallies he's done recently. But I don't know if, you know, they're type of statements that are going to radicalize someone and push them farther to the right. Not saying that can't happen or that he can't be an influence. He certainly has influenced the political landscape, and how people run for office. But I feel like locally, since that's what you asked about, that influences I deal with, you know, of course, living in an area that's mostly, you know, very left-leaning or progressive, what influences me is the left-leaning political rhetoric. And so that kind of has the effect of actually, you know, pushing me more ideologically to the right, sort of in reaction. So it's not the right-wing political rhetoric that's, you know, quote-unquote radicalizing me, but rather the left-leaning political rhetoric that I feel like, you know, it's kind of there's not a good way to express a conservative outlook here in our local government. The populace is too dominated by progressive citizenry is progressive and that's fine, but it's just I don't know how to wrap this up, but it's like that issue is something that I feel like we could explore in a lot more depth. But you know, there's not only, I feel like so much attention is put on, you know, national political rhetoric whenever there's a lot of local political rhetoric that could be analyzed and observed in that way as well, I guess, to summarize.
Well, we'll have to wrap that up there. We're coming on the end of the hour. But again, polls are open for another 2.5 hours until 7:30 this evening. So if you haven't gone to the polls and voted yet, make sure you do. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you.